Bourbon is my first love when it comes to whiskey, but even a bourbon lover like me can't deny the international importance of scotch. There are a lot of scotch options out there. Which ones do I go to as a bourbon lover? Well, if you want to find out, then stick around. Before we get started, we have to thank our patrons out there. If you don't know, there is an opportunity to support this program on a monthly basis. And quite honestly, it's very expensive to produce this kind of content, and we couldn't do it without those patrons. So thank you. And if you're watching and you're not a patron, thank a patron. Okay, let's get into it. First off, we have some disclaimers. Most of my recommendations are not based solely on flavor. Because I found in my whiskey journey that the circumstances surrounding your first experience with a whiskey will forever change the way you feel about that spirit. And I'm going to tell you about each bottle and why I have an affinity for it, but it's only my opinion. So you might be wondering who this nice gentleman is. This is Scott Jenkins. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your background, because you are one of the more fascinating individuals that this hobby has caused me to get involved with.
Yeah, so I've been in the hospitality industry for going on 15 years now, man. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel old. And I've kind of done every single job you can do outside of cooking on the line. I've been a bar back, I've been a craft bartender, certified sommelier. I've owned and run and operated a couple bars in here in the Dallas area for a few years, and now I'm the single malt scotch ambassador for Bacardi, and I cover all of Texas. So it's a real job, folks.
Yeah, it's a real job. I remember when you were interviewing, you were really excited about this opportunity, and a lot of people don't get to make the jump from the cocktail industry into brand representation, and I know that a lot of people, that's kind of their goal. And for you to be able to go into a role for brands that are so prestigious that you already had such an affinity for, that must have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was incredibly exciting. It not only was it the brands that drew me to this role, but the people that I get to work with and the people behind those brands. I feel very fortunate. These jobs are not easy to get. They're incredibly competitive, and you kind of have to stay current with the whiskey world and everything that's happening, and you gotta genuinely love it.
Yeah.
And this role is all about authenticity, so you can't represent these prestigious brands and not believe in them.
Sure. Well, I have a favorite thing about your role, and that is the budget that you have to put on special events. And so if you are wondering what the heck all of this stuff is that's up here, that's all branded from Aberfeldy, which is one of the brands that you represent. You put on an event at this extremely high-end restaurant in downtown Dallas that, even though it's kind of famous, it's so high-end that I have grown up here and never even heard of it until you invited me. And it's like on the 14th floor or something like that. And we went to this beautiful evening, private event. Everybody had a full package of Aberfeldy-branded things, including this bottle, which has my initials stamped in the wax. And so having that type of experience, and then you also put on a Burns Night event every year. Tell the people in brief what Burns Night is.
So Burns Night is the celebration of Scotland's most beloved poet, Robert Burns. And it's an excuse to kind of get together and drink good whiskey, attempt to recite poetry, and have a good time. I hire a bagpiper who comes and pipes in the haggis. And we have actually eaten haggis hand pies the first year. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate. We play trivia. We play games. We learn a little bit about the whiskey and spend time with one another, which is kind of my personal philosophy.
Sure. Yeah, so the first event was at Monarch in Dallas. And
yes,
the last two Burns Nights that I went to were at a small, like, really amazing restaurant. It doesn't even have a sign really outside. It's almost like a speakeasy. And it's called Rye, Dallas.
And Apothecary, yeah. So Rye's the restaurant side. Apothecary is their cocktail bar.
Yeah, the cocktail bar. And so we go there. We have authentic Scottish dishes that have been specifically prepared. And so that's part of the reason why I have such an affinity for your brands. So let's talk about what my favorite scotches are. And we are going to start off with what we have in our glasses here today. And that is Craigellachie. Am I saying that correctly?
You are. Okay. It's one of my favorite things to do is to try and get people to pronounce it before we actually taste it. And I've got some pretty good pronunciations.
Yeah. So if you, I only know because I've heard him say it before. But Craigellachie is from the northern region, right? Speyside?
Yeah, it's in Speyside. It translates to craggy rock. So it's centralized on this sort of outcropping of rock that right where the river Tay meets the river Spey. And it's been there since 1891, the distillery was founded. And the village has been built around that distillery.
And if somebody is a bourbon drinker and they're like, you know what, I'm going to get scotch curious. I want to go check things out. What should they expect from Craigellachie? Yeah.
Craigellachie is your gateway, especially if you like a bit gamier or more muscular whiskeys. Craigellachie is 46%. The production methodology of Craigellachie is what makes it tempting for bourbon drinkers. So, do we want to go through that a little bit?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, in a nutshell, we'll keep it basic. What makes Craigellachie really unique among Speyside whiskeys, which are typically known to be these sort of fruity, lighter whiskeys, really, really enjoyable whiskeys, Craigellachie is this kind of bad boy amongst mm-hmm. these distilleries. And in part that comes from its production methodology. So a lot of people are familiar with Scotch whiskeys having these really tall, elegant copper stills. And these shell and tube condensers that allow them to kind of produce this light, estuary, fruity whiskey, especially in Speyside. Craigellachie is the opposite of that. We use these sort of short, squat onion stills. It's something called a worm tub condenser. Last I kind of checked, there was only about 18 or 19 operating distilleries that still use worm tub condensers. Mm. And this is like a giant two-story bath outside of the distillery that has a massive copper coil that sort of snakes down and gets smaller in diameter the further you go, and it's in this cold water bath. And what this combination of these short squat stills and this warm tub condenser do is it keeps a lot of these heavier compounds in the whiskey during the distillation process. So on the other end, after we've matured this whiskey for this is the 17 year we have, you got a lot of these sort of heavier sulfur notes that kind of stay in there, mm-hmm. but it's the sweet side of sulfur.
Yeah.
And so you get these sort of caramelized pineapple and smoky licorice, and even though this is an unpeated whiskey, there's just this really nice muscularity to it.
See, and I think that's why I like it as a bourbon lover, because I drink a lot of high proof bourbons, and often when somebody gives me a scotch, I can appreciate it for how delicate it is, but it's just too light for my palate. Yeah. Hmm. And so Craigellachie would be one that, as a Speyside, it's probably going to appeal to a bourbon drinker's palate.
This is a whiskey maker's whiskey. It's not super well known, we're working on that, but it's well known amongst whiskey makers as being like a fantastic dram.
So my number two, and by the way, these are in no particular order, would be Aberfeldy, the other brand you represent. And Aberfeldy is produced in the Highland region, right?
Yeah, this is a really rich legacy in Aberfeldy. So this distillery was the first and only distillery built by the sons of John Duer, so the famous Duer's whiskey. Specifically, John Alexander, really, really savvy, smart operations portion of the Duer's brand. He built this distillery, the most modern distillery, to try and usher the Highland whiskey into the 20th century. And he contracted the most famous architect of the time, Charles Doig, built this really beautiful distillery with these modern advancements, running electricity, this sort of pagoda roof style that Doig was known for, to kind of produce this light, honeyed, fruit-forward whiskey. Mm-hmm. And that distillery was built in 1898 and has been stewarded over for 125 years. We actually celebrated our 125th year last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what should people expect from Aberfeldy? Is it different from other Highland Scotches, or do you feel like it's a quintessential Highland?
I mean, I think it's a quintessential Highland Scotch, especially in the 12 year, but we do a few things differently. And I have to kind of take a moment to pause, like, and talk about our master of malt, Stephanie McLeod. She is a fantastic master of malts. She kind of joined the team in the late 90s and took over as our seventh master blender for Dewars and master of malts for all five of our single malt houses in 2004, and was really kind of stewarding over this whiskey, building up reserves, learning and innovating. And in 2018, she was recognized by the IWC, Icons of Whiskey in Scotland, as the Master Blender of the Year, the first female Master Blender of the Year. And she has won that 5 years in a row.
Wow.
So she's the only human alive or dead to win that back-to-back, let alone 5 years in a row. And so what she's done with Aberfeldy is not only continue this legacy, this beautiful distillery right in the heart of Scotland, but she has driven the category forward with her innovations, wine cask innovations, just producing some of the best whiskey out there, I think, in my opinion.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of What You Have on Your E-commerce Site. I'm your host, Randy Sullivan. Let's get right to the questions. Do you have Glen Toppers? Yes. Do you have t-shirts? Yes. Do you have bottle carrying bags? Yes. Do you have storage? Yes. Do you have an aroma kit? Yes. People, we have everything at bourbonrealtalk.com. This is stupid. Why do we even need a game show? Well, we've had you on not only because of your deep knowledge of the brands that you represent, but you have a deep knowledge of other brands. Mm. And one of my other favorite scotches is Springbank.
Yeah.
And my love of Springbank actually comes from, you know, a lot of you viewers out there have watched the videos that I've done with Dwayne Poor and his $10 million whiskey collection. If you go watch the last video, we actually film in two locations, and the second location is at his house. And there is an overflow storage room that you walk into that's like big industrial shelving, and it's filled up with 192 bottles of 26-year-old Springbank.
Yeah, my God.
Which I had no idea how rare that is. Like, it's hard to get like a Springbank that's like 12 years old, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've this is a 10-year, and I snatched it right off the shelf when I saw there was one bottle. I mean, ever since they won those awards a few years back, it's been hard to find, but it's such small production anyway. I mean, this is a really beautiful Campbelltown distillery that does everything on site.
Right.
From the beginning of the process to the bottling, it's all done on site.
Right.
And so the quality control is there. Really, really beautiful expressions, but very jealous of getting to taste
a 26-year-old. Yeah. It was phenomenal, even as my palate normally prefers bourbon, but it was such a great expression. It was something that he personally selected, that he thought was phenomenal. And Campbelltown is a unique place because there used to be more distilleries in that region, and I think I read they're down to only three.
Yeah, there's very few between Campbelltown and the Lowlands. There's not a lot operating down there anymore. The highest concentration's in Speyside, and then you have the Highlands, and then Islay, and some of the other islands. But Campbelltown, Springbank's probably one of the most famous distilleries still operating there.
Yeah. And so we'll move on to my fourth favorite, which is what I poured for myself a second ago. I believe it is pronounced Auchentoshan.
Mm.
Does that sound right
to you? Yeah,
Auchentoshan. One, it's fun to say, but somebody was trying to give me an experience and let me try scotches from all the different regions. And we're going to talk more about the regions in a second, but this one is from Lowlands. Mm-hmm. And again, there's not a lot of distilleries there. And the reason why this one stuck out to me is because when I was with Dwayne Poor, he shared with me a Balcony single malt that he had selected as a single barrel. And he, who I consider one of the world's foremost experts on Scotch that I know, and others have mentioned that Balcony single malt is very reminiscent of Scotch whiskey. And I never tasted that. Every time I tasted it, it tasted like its own unique thing. I'd never had a Scotch that reminded me of Balcones until I tried Auchentoshan 3-Wood. Mm. And it had a cinnamon component, but it also had a little bit of this dark chocolate and coffee component to it. That's what makes it reminiscent to what I taste when I have Balcones. And so I fell in love with this whiskey. So much so that when I was meeting with the owner of Giant Texas Distillers, my business partner for the Prideful Goat, mm-hmm. who controls about 30 to 40% of the coffee market in the United States. So you can imagine how wealthy he is.
Wow.
And he had taken me to...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Lunch at Carrabba's, the original Carrabba's in Houston. Mama Carrabba was sitting at the bar. They sold off the franchise, but she kept her original location, and they run it as a complete scratch kitchen. And he's so well known there that when we walked in, they were like, "The usual, sir?" And I was like, "I'll have what he's having."
Yeah.
And so he asked me to go to the bar and pick out a drink for us. And I know he actually likes scotch a little more than he likes bourbon. So I'm looking around, and they have Auchentoshan Threewood. So I said, "All right, bring us an Auchentoshan." Well, the staff there love him so much, they kept bringing him free drinks and bringing them along with me. The only time I've ever missed an airplane. He looked down at his watch and he goes, "I don't think you're going to make it." And I was like, "I don't think I am either. I'm going to stay here and enjoy this whiskey."
Didn't have a private coffee jet you could hop on?
Oh, he does, actually. Oh, okay. He called me one time. I've decided this is the coolest thing you can ever say to another human being. He called me and he said, "Hey, I'm going to tour a barrel facility. And we're trying to work out a contract to get in their list to buy barrels because there's a barrel shortage. And I wanted to know if you wanted to go on the trip." And I said, yes, I do want to do that very badly. And he said, and I quote, "What's the closest airport to your house?"
Oh my God.
Because he was bringing the plane to me. Unfortunately, I did not get to go on that trip because I had scheduled a tasting for the Prideful Goat that night.
But should have done it on the airplane.
Yeah, I should have. So few people showed up, we would have fit. Anyways, so Auchentoshan, that's mine. Now, do you have any little quips or information about Lowlands?
I mean, Auchentoshan in general is pretty interesting. It's one of the only distilleries, I believe, that triple distills.
Oh, yes, they do triple distill, yeah. And that's a technique that's more common in Ireland.
Yeah, for Irish whiskey making, yeah.
Yeah.
Springbank does, on some of their 2.5 distillation process.
Whatever that is.
It's complicated. Right? Distillation's fun. It's a whole video in itself.
And last on my list of five is Octomore.
This surprises me from you, actually.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to explain Octomore. So first off, Octomore is from Islay, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And Islay is known for its very smoky and peaty scotches. Okay, so can you explain to the people what phenolic parts per million is?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, first we got to understand what peat is. Very basic kind of description. It's this compacted dead vegetation. It's got a lot of water content. It's not allowed to oxidize and kind of break down, so it just kind of gets compacted and builds up over time. And it's a really great fuel source because it's sustainable, and the flavor changes depending upon the terroir. Mm-hmm. So, like, not all peat is the same.
Right.
Some peat on Islay that's harvested, you know, you might have some kelp addition in there, which gives it this sort of briny, medicinal quality. Some peat from Orkney is a lot of heather flower in there, so you have a little more floral components in that. But the compounds that are found in peat when you burn them are a group called phenols, and these are lots of different types of compounds, but they provide these sort of smoky, resinous, meaty, umami kind of flavors with whiskey. And this fuel source that is used during the malting process, it's a little misleading, these phenolic parts per million. So it doesn't necessarily correlate that just because you have a high PPM of peat that the whiskey is gonna be super smoky, mm-hmm. which is kind of weird. You would think it would be, right? But so the PPM is measured in the malted barley before it goes through any of the process.
Oh, okay.
Right. So,
so depending on how you distill and ferment, you could change the flavor.
You lose a lot of phenols through fermentation, distillation, and even the subtractive maturation. So there are some really crazy ones out there. So it's better to kind of refer to the liquid post-distillation and post-maturation as like sort of a lightly peated, medium peated, heavy peated. And then you've got some like crazy ones.
Peat monsters, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading up on like Ardbeg last night and the Hypernova, and they actually describe it as brutally peated.
Brutally
peated. Which I think is amazing.
So everybody understands, I'll give you a real quick background. So barley has complex carbohydrates in it and not sugar until you get it wet and it thinks it's going to grow a plant. Mm-hmm. And it has all of this this enzyme in it that's good at breaking down complex carbohydrates into simple sugar so the plant has energy to grow. In Scotland, everywhere, you have to stop that process or it will grow into a plant and it will use up its own sugars, mm-hmm. which you need for the fermentation process. In Scotland, they don't have any trees because the Vikings cut them all down to make ships a long time ago. And so when you're looking for things that were burned and you have peat in abundance, mm-hmm. you will use that as your heat source to dry the grain out. So that you can then use it in your fermentation process. And when you use peat, this black smoke kind of covers the grain and it adds these phenol compounds and that affects the flavor of the whiskey. Although there are, Islay's known for peated whiskey, but there are other regions that are typically not peated and things like that. And peat can be a very divisive flavor for bourbon lovers because bourbon is mostly sweet because it's made from corn. And a lot of bourbon lovers do not like peat. Octomore is known for having the highest peat level. He mentioned Ardbeg. I looked it up. It averaged about 50 parts per million. Mm. Lagavulin, you know, Ron Swanson's favorite whiskey. Yeah. It's around 35 parts per million, 40 to 50 parts per million, something like that. But Octomore has a record of 258 parts per million.
Yeah, I think one of the 8 point something additions was upwards of 300.
300. So you're talking, you know, six times the amount of peat of aggressively peated scotch.
Yeah.
And so when I tell people I like Octomore, they're like, what? Why? How? And it's because of the comedy rule of threes applies to my peat love. Okay. So if we go to a comedy club, comic makes a joke, about half the people laugh.
Yeah.
Makes the same joke the second time, no one laughs. Makes the same joke the third time, everyone laughs. That's how peat works for me.
Yeah.
If you put a little bit in there, I'm like, I see what you're doing. All right, I'm kind of in. You put a little bit more, I'm like, ugh, you made it taste gross. You put way more in, and I'm like, I'm back in, baby.
Yeah. It's once you drink it, it's the only thing you're drinking.
Yeah, it's and once you've had Octomore, everything else tastes like Octomore. It's pretty interesting. So I was putting my list together and I realized, did I accidentally pick a whiskey from all of the five main regions of Scotch?
You did.
Scotland.
You did, from the major producing regions.
Isn't there some controversy that there's a sixth region or something like that?
I think everyone's going to fight for the region to be a region, right? I mean, there used to be a lot of sort of general stereotypes about those regions. Highland whiskey tastes like this, Bayside's this, Islay's this. Nowadays, you can't really kind of go by that. Not all Highland whiskeys are going to be unpeated, light, sherried. I mean, there's some people doing some really interesting things out there. And then you get mavericks like, you know, Compass Box coming in and going, we're kind of going to make our own rules, you know? So there's some really interesting stuff going on. But yeah, you did. You actually got one from every region.
I did not do that on purpose, I promise. In fact, I thought that Auchentoshan was from Campbellton. And then I realized Springbank was, and I was like, oh, I think I got all five on accident.
Happy accidents.
Yeah, so we always give whiskey away.
Yeah.
And we love to do free giveaways as a reward for our people who are, you know, they're loyal and they watch all our videos. And I asked you to bring some special things. So what are we giving away today?
I like to give a whiskey away because good whiskey is meant to be shared.
That is right.
So we have a bottle from each of two of our five distilleries. So a bottle of 12-year-old Aberfeldy and a bottle of Craigellachie 13-year. A little bit about these because I'm probably sure you're going to get people asking you questions. Aberfeldy 12-year is matured in a combination of first fill, second fill, and rechar ex-bourbon casks.
Okay.
And sherry casks. And then Craigellachie is the same, ex-bourbon and sherry casks. So we mature those whiskeys for 12 years and 13 years, respectively. And then we've sort of at them together, get this really beautiful, consistent profile. With Aberfeldy 12, it's this sort of energetic, waxy, bright honey, bright, oily citrus, you know, a little bit of florality, a little bit of soft vanilla and baking spice. And Craigellachie, I like to quote my buddy Gabe Cardarella, who's the National Doers Ambassador. I never forget the way he described Craigellachie to me. He said it's like shooting a shotgun through a pineapple.
Okay.
Now you got that high sulfur content, but that sweet side, so this sort of gun smoke. And then you got these grilled syrupy pineapples, these really beautiful sort of tropical notes and vanilla, delicious drams. So I would recommend to try both of them side by side and kind of get a feel for them. And then keep an eye out for the innovations we have coming up, especially for Aberfeldy.
All right. Well, we are, because this is such a big giveaway, we are going to have two separate winners.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is you have to like, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell so you're notified of future content and future giveaways. And most importantly, you have to go to the video description and fill out the web form. Give me your basic contact information. I'll run a randomizer. I'll post it publicly. I will reach out to you to get your shipping information, and I will send you one of these bottles absolutely for free. Previously, we were asking for you to comment to enter the free giveaway, and it created so many comments that I cannot keep up. So we do want to hear from you, but you do not have to comment just to order the free giveaway, enter the free giveaway. So if you like this content and you would like to think about supporting the channel, there is a link for you to check out our member benefits for Patreon below. You can also go to bourbonrealtalk.com, which there's a link for, and check out our merchandise. I promise you, if you love whiskey, you're going to find plenty of things there that you do not want to live without. And shameless plug, my real estate business has been subsidizing this channel since its inception. You can also show support by hiring me as your residential real estate agent in the Dallas or Houston metro areas. And we also have some information down in the links below for you to find more information about your brands and to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, please do. I'm not a huge social media, but I'm learning.
Oh, yeah. I'm not good at it either. I only do it because I have to. So if this is your first time tuning into the channel, we like to let you know what we're all about. And that is using whiskey to bring people together. And that's something that's important to me because I lost my younger brother to suicide in 2014. And I saw whiskey creating connections between individuals that probably otherwise wouldn't have connected with each other. And I thought, if it's that powerful, I want to use it to create the kind of connections my brother was missing in his life when he made the decision that he didn't want to be here anymore. And so that's why we started the channel. It's also why we started Bourbon Real Talk Community, because we needed a forum to create connection. And when we looked at the other forum options out there, many of them were filled with hateful people. We call them whiskey trolls, and they say really hateful things to strangers online because who knows why. But they taught us two things. One, start Bourbon Real Talk Community where there are no trolls. And two, if they can hate you online, we can love you online. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that I love you. And I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. In the steep hills of the rockiest of mountains, under beaming sun or windy winters, a prideful goat stands tall. The whiskey offers smooth yet bold flavors to be enjoyed anywhere with anyone. So take a leap and discover the complex and beautiful sceneries of the prideful goat with us. I'm Randy Sullivan, host of Bourbon Real Talk, and I partner with Giant Texas Distillers to create the whiskey brand, the Prideful Goat. That intro was one of the drafts for the Prideful Goat's back label. And the truth is, the name just sounded cool. There is no significance to the name, which makes a back label story difficult. We felt some of what was written was a little too fanciful for our target audience. Our goal was to create a whiskey by whiskey lovers for whiskey lovers. Cask strength, Non-chill filtered, straightforward, no fluff. We're currently sold in Alaska, Arizona, California, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, and Alberta, Canada. And if you want a quality whiskey that was curated for enthusiasts, head over to www.pridefulgoat.com and use the store locator. If your local store doesn't have it, you can look on the website to see what your state wholesaler is, and your store can call them and order it. We also have some pretty awesome Prideful Goat merchandise, including etched Glencairns, t-shirts, and now a dog squeaky toy. If we're not sold in your state, don't worry. Sealbox and Bourbon Outfitter both sell our products for lower than average retail prices. With no sales tax and discounts for multiple bottle shipping, in many cases you can get the Prideful Goat delivered to your front door for less money than you would pay at a local store. We hope you enjoy our little project.